The 0-1. And Springer hits this in the air, right center field, fairly deep. It sends back Mazzara looking up. See you later! Into the Rangers bullpen, a two-run home run for George Springer. And it is 6-2 Rangers. Springer's team-leading 28th home run of the year.
Now, another Astros podcast.
Well, still nobody out here in the eighth inning. Little igniter for George Springer going the other way. First time since going on the shelf, that had to feel really good for Springer.
0-1. And that's hit down the right field line, and that's a base hit, and that's headed for the corner. Around third, Gonzalez, he will score. Beltran in the second base with an RBI double, and it is 6-4 Rangers.
How about those approaches, last two batters for the Astros, slapping it the other way. Back-to-back doubles against the Rangers' best relief pitcher, and now they're in trouble.
Claudio Sepp, 3-2. On the inside corner for strike three, frozen with a changeup, and that is the ball game. Altuve with words with Bill Welke about that last pitch. But the Rangers hold on despite the threat by the Astros to take the first game of this series. Rangers win it by a final of 6-4.
Robert Ford, Steve Sparks, on your radio, the Houston Astros Radio Network.
Logan Morrison, 3-2. Swing and a miss. Blew a fastball by him away at 98 miles an hour. And Giles strikes out the side, works around Longoria's two-out double.
And in my eyes, Ken Giles, his last two outings, has looked as sharp as he has as an Astro.
Ken Giles is my guest today here on Astro Launch. This is Steve Sparks ahead of the second game of this three-game series with the Rangers. And Ken, you get into this series. You guys are in a little mini, let's say not slump, but a little slide right now for you guys. What's the key in your mind for you guys just to kind of snap out of it and play better baseball?
Probably the biggest key is just not thinking about it. Just everybody focus on doing their part, nobody trying to carry more weight than the other right now.
Not having guys ask you about it?
Yeah, that's a big thing. I mean, everybody knows we're in a little skid right now. Yeah. And every team goes through it. I mean, it's not a big deal. We're not panicking over it. Everybody, right. Eventually we knew that some of the guys, and if not some of us, all of us were going to go through a little slump through the season. Everybody does. And right now we're just kind of mentally going through this grind, and we're just staying patient and just waiting for everybody to work out the kinks.
Now, Ken, we were wondering in the second and third month of the season how many innings the bullpen was throwing. We were wondering if that was going to catch up. And it looked like it did in July. In August, you guys have seemed to rebound. Maybe the second win, so to speak, for you guys. Everybody's starting to feel more healthy and better?
I mean, that's the biggest thing. Everybody's starting to feel more healthy and getting more back in shape right now. I think that's the biggest thing. We're going down this long stretch now, and everybody's really focusing on their health-wise and their strength right now. And as a bullpen unit, we've just talked to each other every day to keep the grind going. Don't worry about what the starters are doing, how many innings they go. Just be ready for any kind of situation right now.
What's it like pitching in this ballpark? I mean, it's hard to tell people what it's like here, but I always felt like there was no air. You're in the bullpen, and it's almost like you're in an oven out there. And when you come in, how do you stay fresh at this ballpark?
I mean, just stay hydrated, most likely, and try to stay out of the sun as much as possible. And for me, I just stay in the shade, stay hydrated. And with the kind of heat you get here, you don't have to really do too much to get ready fast. So you just got to kind of pace yourself through the weather.
Ken Giles, a year ago at this time, you left Minnesota. You went home to witness the birth of your son. He's 1 year old today, and he's having a birthday party back in Arizona with a lot of family. Tell me, you've seen some pictures already. What's going on out there?
I mean, he's only one, so he's oblivious. I mean, even though it's supposed to be his day, the only day, but every day is always about him, no matter what day it is. And it's just crazy how time flew by so fast. It just feels like yesterday he just came into the world, and now he's about to start walking now, and now he's become his own little person, and it's just a great experience.
And he's oblivious to this whole thing, yet you still spend money and make sure that everything's perfect, right?
Hey, I mean, nowadays I don't buy myself anything. Yeah, my wife, me and my wife just get him whatever he needs. Yeah. That's the most important thing. As long as he's got what he needs and what he needs to stay safe and just have a good time, that's all we're focusing on with him.
There you go. That's Ken Giles, Astros closer. Thanks for catching up.
Hey, thank you.
A high drive by Rodriguez. And it's into the basket, and Pudge Rodriguez pumps his fist. He just hit his 300th home run. Ball ended up back on the field, probably not the home run ball. I'm sure the Astros will try to get it. And he gives them a 4-2 lead.
Milestone home run for Pudge Rodriguez.
Welcome back, Robert Ford, joined by Astros third base coach and outfield coach Gary Pettis before the Astros take on the Texas Rangers. And before the game tonight, the Rangers are going to retire number 7 for Ivan Rodriguez, a longtime catcher and going into the Hall of Fame this year, along with Jeff Bagwell, of course, and Tim Raines. And Ivan Rodriguez came up in 1991, and you were on this Texas Rangers team when he came up. What do you remember about Pudge when he first got to the big leagues and when you first saw him?
Well, I think when I first saw him was like in the minor leagues, and you could tell that he was a different type of catcher. He could do a lot of things. I think back in the day, most catchers were of the control the pitching, control the running game, you know, throw out base stealers, and he brought the dimension of being able to hit and hit to all fields with power. So when he came up to the Rangers, he was a big shot in the arm, and I have to believe that he was athletic enough to where he could have probably played any other position as well.
Now, I know when Pudge first came up, there was talk about, you know, everybody knew about him defensively and the great arm and all that, but there were some questions about his bat. At what point did you realize, hey, this kid can hit too? He's not just a defense first catcher.
Well, I think it was noticeable because he had the ability to hit the ball to the opposite field.
Yeah.
And guys that can hit the ball to the opposite field, they do have a very good chance of being successful. And he fit that mold, and like I said, he gave the Rangers a shot in the arm, and just watching him back there behind the plate was special, how he could set the base runner up and then pick him off at first base. He would look down and see what the guy was doing, if he was coming back hard or not after the pitch. And once he saw that, he didn't try to take advantage of it right away. His thing was he would wait until there was a swing and a miss, and then he would fire the ball down the first base, and so it gave him a little extra time, and with the arm strength that he had, it was real easy for him to pick guys off.
Now, as a base stealer, you talk about a catcher setting up a base runner. As a base stealer yourself, were there certain catchers you always are aware of that might throw behind the hitter, might throw to bases? Because there's some guys who are really good at doing it, and there's some guys who just won't do it.
Well, I considered myself to be a very good base runner. And so I never took anything for granted. I expected all of them to do it, so I was never caught off guard.
Well, that's not a bad strategy. I guess that's why you're such a good base stealer. Also wanted to talk to you about Don Baylor. Lost Baylor not too long ago, and big part of the baseball community. Very good player and a very good manager as well. You played with him with the Angels. What do you remember about being Don Baylor's teammate?
Well, one of the first things that I remember was I was coming up from AAA, my first time going into Major League spring training. And when I walked into the complex there, we went into the locker room, and all the guys that I'd played with in AAA, they were going to the left side of the locker room. So I figured that that's where my locker was too. So I went to the left side, and I walked down the aisles, and I didn't see my name. And I thought, man, did they make a mistake? Am I not supposed to be here? So I went to the equipment manager, and I said, hey, I said, I don't see my locker. And I said, it's not on the other side over there. He says, I know. He says, your locker is over there on the other side. So I walk around the corner, and the first person I see is Don Baylor. He's got his back to me, and he's taking off his shirt. And at that point, I went, oh, my gosh, that guy's a baseball player? I mean, he was just a large man. And I thought, wow, and he's an outfielder too, and I was probably 165 pounds, and he was probably 225 pounds. And from that point on, as the year went on, I realized how special of a player he was, and not just a special player that did everything the right way, but he was probably one of the toughest guys that I've ever seen play this game. Everybody knows the history of him being hit by the most pitches in baseball, right, and all of that, but it was the way he got hit. You know, guys today, they jump out of the way of the baseball. If you threw it inside, Don Baylor would make you pay for it. He said, if you don't have enough command to throw it over the plate and you throw it inside and you hit me, I'm going to make you pay for it. It's going to be a runner on first base. And he never once did he flinch. He would get hit. Sometimes you just pick the ball up and toss it back to the pitcher and then just go on down to first base. And you talk about breaking up double plays, which we can no longer do. There are many second basemen and shortstops around the league that fear Don Baylor coming down to second base on them.
Gary Pettis, Astros third base coach and outfield coach, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
This has been a production.
And whoever in this crowd wasn't standing before, well, they're getting to their feet now.
Of the Houston Astros.
This place is rocking right now.
Radio Network.